You might think of Merle Haggard as a stiff shot of fine old sour mash. This most unadulterated of country singers and songwriters can be both raw and real, smooth and sweet. Aged 64, he still packs a kick, but drink in too much of Merle Haggard and craziness kicks in. Mr. Haggard was sniffling when we climbed aboard his tour bus. It was pollen season. He said he'd seen stuff sprayed into the air on his travels across the country.
They're spraying Washington, they're spraying in Reno, and they're spraying in Denver, and they're spraying in Redding, California, and I got them on film. Why don't they tell us what they're doing if they're trying to ionize the clouds? Why don't they say something?
Almost felt it touching me just now. Wish I knew which way to turn and go. I feel so good and then I feel so bad. I wonder what I ought to do. If I could only fly.
Mr. Haggard has a brand new album out, If I Could Only Fly. In a time in which country can be shiny and sensational, Mr. Haggard is trying to be simple and sentimental.
You know, I'm so against the music that's out nowadays that has no emotion. You know, there's a lot of that out that has no message of any kind. And so I just went in the opposite direction. I tried to come up with the most touching subjects with an unpretentious band.
If I Could Only Fly is somewhere between Merle Haggard's 80th album or his 100th, not even his record company knows for certain. He's had 39 number one country hits, but the 1990s were hard times for Merle Haggard. He bounded between high-stakes bankruptcy, hard living, and declining popularity in a country music business that moved into the smack-dab middle of the road. Merle Haggard has always run along the edge. But Mr. Haggard knows how to make music out of misfortune. He was born to parents who fled the Oklahoma Dust Bowl and made their home in an abandoned railroad car.
You know, it had like 10-inch walls. It wasn't a neat place to be in the summer of 1937 because you didn't have air conditioners to deal with then. It was out on sort of a barren desert, and that's where I grew up.
Did you have a feeling growing up that it was on the wrong side of those tracks?
I noticed early on that there was a different side to the track.
Yeah.
And that, you know, my chances of ever crossing the track was very slim.
This new album begins with a song that's almost startling in these times of sober recrimination. Wishing All Those Old Things Were New reworks the standard country music paean to hard drinking.
Watching while some old friends do a line, holding back the want to in my own addicted mind. Wishing it was still a thing even I could do. Wishing all these old things were new.
You know, everybody's having to quit everything. I mean, you know, if someone does a line in front of you, it's really a pleasure to watch somebody do something you can't do anymore. And actually,
now, when you say doing a line, believe it or not,
I'm talking about doing a line of cocaine.
Right. Yeah. Some of our listeners might think you mean a conga line.
I had no intention of misleading anybody.
You had this image for many years as a hard living man. Do you find you can't do that anymore and still do your music?
Oh, it's never been where you could do that sort of thing and really keep your eye on the center of the road. You know, it's real easy to slip into the party mode when you're playing for the party, when in fact we're the host and we can't allow ourselves to become part of it.
Merle Haggard is clearly serious about his songs and says that he tries to make them
a film condensed into 8 lines. And then it has to have a melodic, appealing melodic. Not just melodic, but it has to be appealing. You can't forget that it's a song. It's something that should be easy to sing.
Crazy moon, you shine just like there's nothing wrong. Crazy moon, Don't you know my baby's gone? I told her she could leave or change her tune. Crazy me, crazy moon.
Crazy Moon is not a bad crazy example of writing about a subject that's easily understood in all languages. You know, it's talking about the solar system. It has something crazy to do with modern thought, space travel, and people staring at the moon, wondering if we went to the moon or whether we didn't. I'm beginning to wonder myself. I'm starting to doubt them. Why would they tell us the truth about that?
Well, because we needed to invent Velcro.
Tell us that? Stop and think about it. Why would they have told us that if they actually did it? I don't think they did it.
Crazy moon, your silver light can't find the ground. Cause you're in the sky before the sun goes down. And we'll waste another lonely afternoon. Crazy me, crazy moon. Crazy me, crazy moon.
Few of Merle Haggard's most outrageous suspicions seem to make it into the lines of his songs. He's a craftsman who builds a song out from his own heart. On this new album, he has several wrought from his own life. One's about a father telling his son about his past.
I knew someday you'd find out about San Quentin. Your heart would break and your faith would go away. But it's time you knew the truth about your papa. I've not always been the man I am today.
Mr. Haggard spent his own stretch in San Quentin in the early 1960s for robbery. He heard Johnny Cash give a concert there and decided it was more productive to return to prison as a performer, not an inmate. Another song makes you hear what's missing from much of modern mainstream country music: stories, characters reeling from real loves and losses. Not long ago, Mr. Haggard and his wife, Teresa Lane, were expecting a child.
And then she went for a checkup and the heartbeat wasn't there. And so it was a devastating thing for the family. And she went to rehab. I sent her over to a place in Tucson for rehabilitation, having to do with the aftermath of it all. And we kept in touch by phone. I had to keep on touring. And she kept saying, why don't you write a lullaby about this condition? You know me. I said, I don't know. I'll try. And she kept asking me that. And finally she said, don't forget to think about a lullaby. And she hung up.
Think about a lullaby. Think about a lullaby. Baby, close your eyes, don't cry. Think about a lullaby.
A lullaby and not a funeral dirge.
I don't know what it is. It's there again. I'm like Willie says, fortunately we're not in charge. That came from somewhere deep within, or from somewhere far away. And there's got to be people like me that wants to hear some emotion and a song that has a real reason for being there.
You can count your little sheep, but baby, you got to go to sleep. And baby, please don't you cry. Think about a lullaby. Think about a lullaby. Baby, close your eyes, don't cry. Think about a lullaby.
The song by which Merle Haggard is still best known is now something he all but disowns. When it came out in 1969, Merle Haggard was acclaimed for giving voice to a silent majority and derided for encouraging small-minded blowhards.
We don't smoke marijuana in Muskogee. We don't take our trips on LSD. We don't burn our draft cards down on Main Street. 'Cause we like living right and being free.
Mr. Haggard rarely includes this song in his performances these days, but it made him rich and helped him gain a pardon for his criminal past from California Governor Ronald Reagan.
Music was the reason I was pardoned, because of the what they felt like at that time I had said in behalf of the establishment, and when in fact I think they didn't understand the song. And what I said then has nothing to do with who I am now.
The way Merle Haggard tells the story, he and his band were driving back to Bakersfield when they saw a sign with the name of a Dust Bowl town familiar from his childhood.
And it said 19 miles to Muskogee, and that was my dad's home. And I wonder what he'd think about this kind of a world in which we live. I wonder if they smoked grass there. I wondered if they understood why the Beatles had long hair. Those thoughts came to mind in about 20 minutes we had that song.
Leather boots are still in style for manly footwear. Beads and Roman sandals won't be seen. And football's still the roughest thing on campus. And the kids here still respect the college dean.
He says now the song was always a satire. Mr. Haggard and his band were at least as familiar with marijuana as any San Francisco hippie. He was surprised by the song's success in 1969. He seems a little embarrassed by it now. But as Merle Haggard quotes his friend Willie Nelson as saying, fortunately, he's not in charge.
I've written down songs that I couldn't even remember, let alone make up, you know, and have them completely astound me. And say, well, where did that come from? What is that about? Who gave it to me? It's proof of another dimension of life for me. It comes from somewhere. There is other intelligence. We're not the last word.
So you feel you've been given a great gift you got to share?
Hey, I'd be an idiot to not notice it. You know, it's something's going on here. I'm having too much fun. I'm 64 years old. I'm with my second family. I don't have cancer. I quit a 50-year Camel cigarette habit. On my own, by the way. You'll never run into a guy that's been gifted like I have.
Although Mr. Haggard seems happy with his life and reputation as the most genuine of country performers, he's openly annoyed over not hearing his music played on modern, mainstream country stations aimed at 14-year-olds with fat allowances to buy music. Merle Haggard feels the pinch between being yesterday's outlaw and today's classic.
I think there's a little censorship going on. It's just real serious. I think we're catering all of our music, all of our films, all of our news, everything to fit a certain age bracket, hanging on one kid. I don't quite get it. I mean, why don't we take control of the airways again as adults?
So Merle Haggard now tours America in a great silver trailer he's painted up like a Santa Fe Super Chief railroad car to discourage state police, he says, from thinking there are musicians inside. It's 3 days nonstop from the East Coast back home to Bakersfield, 3 days of gas station snacks and rinsing out your socks in the sink. The white-lined fever Mr. Haggard used to sing about now seems engraved into his wrinkled walnut face.
If I could only fly. If I could only fly, I'd bid this place goodbye to come and be with you.
If we could just sprout wings and fly, every problem of the whole world would be solved. Wouldn't need oil. George W. would be happy. I would too.
Merle Haggard says he would stop touring if he could host Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. He's been asked to substitute for Mr. Bell, and the program is a kind of national call-in for people who trust in plots, conspiracies, and the paranormal. Mr. Haggard says he's learned a lot in the 40 years that have taken him from San Quentin to celebrity.
As you listen to people talk, one guy's waiting on Christ to come back, one guy's waiting on the global warming, one guy's waiting on something else, somebody else waiting on this. One thing we all have come, we all feel this impending threat of something about to occur. I wonder what it is. We're going to hit by an asteroid, or do we suddenly make contact with E.T., or do we start the Battle of Armageddon, or... It's a real interesting time in which we...
Mr. Haggard, I'm sitting on your tour bus and you got me scared to death.
I don't mean to have you scared.
Yeah.
I mean to enlighten you.
Coming home soon and I want to stay. Maybe we can somehow get away. And I wish you could come with me when I go again.
Merle Haggard. His new recording is If I Could Only Fly. He's working on his next album. It will be either his 81st or 101st.
Maybe I'm the Paul Revere of 2001, you know.
If you could only fly.